Hey people, Carlos here with a special announcement. We started the Dungeon Rants over a year ago, and we've been growing more and more each month. What started as a group of friends playing Dungeons & Dragons has evolved into this wonderful collective of hardworking people that are doing live shows, making shirts and buttons, putting in hours of editing, writing original music, you name it, we're doing it. As we started to gain more and more listeners, people kept asking us the same thing. Where's your Patreon? I want to donate. Why don't you have a Patreon? And our response has always been the same thing. We don't have enough to give you. And people would say, no. That's not what we want. We don't want anything. We just want to support you. Let us support you making this free thing. And every time this would come up, we talk about it. We discuss how it'd be nice to pay off equipment or afford merch or even pay for conventions we were planning on going to. And while we could definitely use this support, we would always come to the same conclusion. We don't have enough to give. If someone is going to give us money, we want them to feel like they're appreciated, that their support is well spent, and that they're receiving something in return. The consensus was always, if we start a Patreon, we have to run it as if we were the patrons and offer what we want if we were donating. So 6 months ago, we wrote that down, and we've been working on that. We've been working on producing all those things that we would want if we were donating to this project. And as of today, we will be launching our very own Patreon. The Dungeon Rants podcast is free and will always be free. We plan on keeping the same schedule that we've had this past year, so don't worry about that. Nothing will change. But if you're interested in helping the podcast grow and getting bonus material that is not on the stream, head over to patreon.com/thedungeonrants. We even produce a cool video to go with it. Now, donate $2 a month and you get early access to the podcast. This donation actually helps us the most and is the most appreciated. Entry-level patrons are at the heart of any project on Patreon. It tells the creator, hey, we like you, we want you to succeed, please keep going. If you can donate at this level, I want you to know that we see you and we appreciate you, and you're the reason why projects like this work. So thank you. At the $5 level, you'll be in the rattling nest. You'll get Dungeon Master notes, episode commentary, behind-the-scenes videos, access to the stream archives, priority and suggestion selection, and 50% off all bonus side quests, backstories, and music. Yes, that's right. We will be offering the music. You don't have to email me anymore. At the $10 level, you'll be a completist. You'll get everything in the first two levels, plus all side quests, backstories, and music for free. And you'll get to workshop your suggestion directly with the Dungeon Master to guarantee it gets on the show. At $20 a month, you'll be a real-world Rattling and get a free t-shirt every 4 months, plus free access to all live shows. Of course, this includes everything in the previous levels. Now, I've already done a few of these designs, and they include a Bugfly Dope shirt, a Darrell Holy Possum symbol shirt, a Hidden Blade shirt, and even the classic graffiti rat logo. I know $20 a month is a lot. These limited run shirts themselves cost $25 on the website. So if you're planning on getting one of these, it might be worth it. If you bump up to $50 a month, you'll get everything mentioned before, and we will work with you to create a complete adventure for the cast to play live on our Twitch stream. We know this is a big donation, so we completely understand if you want to bump up for 1 month, get the game played, and bump right back down. Completely understandable. Lastly, we thought, maybe you want to know what it's like to play with us, or maybe you want to give a friend or a loved one a present. So if you bump up to $100 a month, you can join us on the Twitch stream for a game. Again, same deal. Feel free to jump back down at any time. We completely understand. Okay, that's a lot. Again, thank you so much for listening and supporting this podcast. It's been incredible to work on and hear from you and see fan art and read reviews. It really fuels us to keep making more. If you can donate, great, awesome. Thank you so much. If you can't, not a problem. Nothing will change. We still love you and we appreciate you for listening. Okay, that's enough. Let's get to the episode. Thank you.
The dungeon rats murdered the entire royal family of Naporia, and have been punished to a fate worse than death. For they are forever trapped in the endless dungeon, and it's your job to keep them there and make them suffer through your most wicked creations.
Welcome back to the Dungeon Rats, an interactive Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Only with your help, Brave Guardian, will we capture Naporia's most wanted and return them to Udala's dungeon. Only then will we bring back the light of Lathander and let it shine on Naporia once again. For you are the only one who can control the magic of the dungeon and create the foes that will make the dungeon rats pay for their horrible past. You can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, or anything else by going to thedungeonrats.com or by following us on the tweet machine at The Dungeon Rats. I am a bit disappointed with our last transmission, for I thought that the bewitched bugfly was most certainly dead. But alas, they were able to save her. Anyway, to catch you up, here is what you need to know. The dungeon rats are murderers. They have killed two kings, one queen, and maybe even our sweet princess, Princess Malia. They were captured and punished for this horrible crime. But alas, they were able to free the demon queen Udala from her altered existence and free themselves from the endless dungeon. And now, the sun is gone. It does not rise. It does not set. It is simply gone. We are surrounded by a constant gray, and it is all the rat's fault. Thanks to you, we had them cornered by an emo beholder. But they defeated them with a beautiful song! One so good that I do not blame the beholder for being distracted and moving away. After defeating the sad black eyes of the beholder, Belagard, Rhoda, Gilf, and Bugfly met Lokar. Lokar is Belagard's business partner, a self-assured miner who has a contract with Belagard. Lokar put up the money for a Magnaria mine in exchange for Belagard's might. Together, the two partners planned on making a considerable amount of money together over the next 5 years. While trying to figure out a way to get Belagard out of the contract, Redemption, who currently takes the form of a cat, pulled the seal of the Lillington family out of Gilf's bag. This seal should only be with a member of the court. The fact that Gilf has it proves that he has murdered yet again. This may explain why Gilf is still deceiving his friends about his identity. They think he is a human named Kane Hallmark, but we know him as the killer he is. So, let's get back to Gil, as he tries to void the contract between Lokar and Belagard with a simple trade.
No, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think your bauble's worth this.
I will give you the bauble and a cart of magnarium.
What can I possibly do with that much magnarium, though?
Trade it.
Trade it?
It's raw magnarium. Unless you're some sort of blacksmith, I don't think there's a lot you can do, but you can craft it into some mighty armor.
It is quite valuable and transportable.
He just starts thinking.
Harold gets the cart as well in the deal, correct?
Of course, you could keep the cart. But Belagard, you're staying here with me.
Contract.
I don't think so. I'll kill him.
Fuck.
Are you gonna kill him right now? No. Do you kill him?
That escalated very quickly.
Do you stab him?
No, I don't think I would do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, but I couldn't help say it.
Hey, man.
Rhoda does say that. She's like, I don't think so. I'm going to kill you. And then she's like,
does she laugh? Like, I'm just kidding.
She remembers the possum god and her new vow to the possum god. And is like, actually, this guy I know, the possum god, he tells me that I should have a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Patience?
Sure. Care for people and patience in the world. So I'll let you go this time.
Not to interject, I know a lot about trinkets, and I, like, sidle up to Kane. You should keep that trinket. That's an important trinket.
Okay, fine. How about Bellegarde's freedom? I won't even put up a fight.
Whoa. Interesting.
Ah, yes, you just want to take over the contract?
To be honest, that would be the most logical trade. They would be trading one thing for the other, so yeah. How long were the terms?
5 years.
5 years. So it's been 1 year.
Yes. Oh, I'll throw in the bauble.
I'll trade you this, and I take out the doll of Daryl.
It's hard not to feel insulted.
This is Daryl. He's the greatest sorcerer in the whole world.
You're carrying that? I thought I had that. I like start checking my stuff. What?
Surprise.
You think 4 years of my life are worth the goblin rag?
That's not... What?
Why would you say something so heinous?
I
don't
that.
Want you.
You're not a rag. And I'm like touching like or patting the Daryl doll. You're not a rag. You're beautiful.
Lokar extends his hand. So, do we have a deal?
He starts thinking. Listen, Lokar, this seems like a great deal. But the thing is, I'm going to have to test drive this guy. I don't know if he's defective. I don't know how
the
long...
Bauble or Bellegarde?
He looks over. This guy. How do you pronounce it? Bauble-guard?
Bellegarde.
Bauble-guard.
Andrew, it's Bellegarde.
I don't know what this guy is. What if we gotta have some type of lemon claws inside here? Give me this guy for 30 days. Try him out. I'm gonna roll a persuasion.
Okay.
11.
I'll tell you what. You can have him for 30 days. If I can keep the seal.
Why did you say that so creepily, though?
What?
You said it very... Guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, where are we going to see you in 30 days? Are we going to come back here in 30 days? I don't like to repeat vacation.
I do feel a little used.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
So what would you do with this brooch for 30 days, though?
Go somewhere.
Your pause. See, there was a pause.
There
was a pause
here.
Right there. I'm going to roll an insight on that.
You seem pretty sneaky, little man.
Actually... I'm going to cast Detect Thoughts on this guy
because
we're talking about it. I don't think I have to do anything for it. It's a level 2 spell.
How much information does he have to give? When
he has to give everything that's on his mind right now unless I dig deeper for like specific things.
And he's got no way to resist it?
Only if I dig deeper.
Okay.
But it's already on his mind.
The surface thoughts are there.
Ah.
You initially learn the surface thoughts of the creature, what is most on its mind in the moment. As action, you can either shift your attention to another creature, blah, blah. If you probe deeper, the target must make a wisdom saving throw. If it fails, you gain insight on emotion, what looms large in his head, his worries, blah, blah, blah.
So right away, once you start reading his mind, you get back the thought of,
yes, me, where I'd go. I'd go to Mount Nia, see if the Helm of Gru is still there. Since he's missing, I'd go check in on the family. Did they kill him? Perhaps they took it. Perhaps I can replace it. For I am the greatest adventurer of all time.
We're the greatest adventurers of all time.
Well, he's got that bauble, man. That guy's confident as hell.
Yep.
Then Lokar says, I'd explore some options.
For 30 days? You'd explore some options for 30 days?
Well, have you noticed? The sun is gone.
I was wondering why my eyes didn't hurt, and I just didn't ever look up.
Wait, do you know why the sun is gone?
Well, I don't know why for sure, but Gru's helm sits at the top of Mount Nia, and it's the thing that is meant to keep all of us Naporians forever protected from the darkness. When the darkness comes, the first place I would look
would be within that shrine to see if the helm was still there.
Kane looks down at Redemption, like glances down with his eyes at Redemption. Like doesn't move his body, but moves his eyes. What does he gather from the cat?
Redemption is locked, has her eyes locked on yours.
Ooh, interesting. This is hard. I don't know how to play this. This is a good setup, though. Because we can't, for one, like, we can't leave without Beauregard, and for two, we want to have this brooch, too, you know what I mean?
While this is happening, Beauregard is listening with a tin cup or whatever they'd have in their room to the door to see if the thing is coming back, you know what I mean?
Roll perception. That's really funny.
Oh, that's going to be a 20.
You hear nothing.
It's still clear.
Are you under the pot?
Yeah,
under the tomb?
Directly under it. He's dumb. Oh. He's directly under the pot.
This makes me very nervous.
His own
for
trap.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, granted, it's like a time thing. So as soon as the pot cools, it'll just be like lukewarm too.
He's eating too. So okay. He's sitting there listening and eating out of the pot.
Lokar's got his hand extended. It's an easy trade. You get your friend back, and I get the brooch.
Lokar, no offense, but I just met you. I kind of don't trust you at this point.
But Beauregard does.
Tell you what. What about this type of a trade?
And he reaches into his backpack, takes apart the backpack frame, the fork in the backpack frame, takes out the wheel, puts it on the onto the fork, and adjusts it. It's like, have a seat.
He sits down. Bow! Hello! You'll do what? I'll clean up in here. It's a mess.
Beauregard crosses the room from the door, grabs him by the throat, and throws him against the wall. Andrew, what have you done with Gilf? Because at that point, we would know, right? I mean, there's no way we wouldn't.
Yeah.
What have you done with Gilf?
I'm going to roll a deception.
Go for it. Against your intelligence.
No, that should be easy. Doesn't matter. I rolled a 3.
I got 15.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you're going to buy it, whatever he dishes you.
When I came across the cat, it was next to it. And I took it with. It's powerful.
I drop him. Okay. I'm sorry. Was tiefling anywhere around? Did you see a young tiefling?
No, no one was around. It was just there.
Do Bugfly and I believe that story?
Can I roll?
Roll intelligence. So you got a 15 on deception. Because you're in the room and you have advantage, Rhoda. Actually, you both have advantage because you both have gotten a really good look at him.
Yeah. What I'm rolling intelligence.
Intelligence, roll it twice and take the higher. You got to beat 15.
What was it?
20.
Net 20.
So Gilf says that to Beauregard. He feels pretty proud of himself. He looks over at Bugfly. She doesn't seem to know. And then Rhoda's just staring right at him. And he cocks his head. But what does she know? She knows that I'm lying.
She knows two things. One, damn, he acts a lot like Gilf. And two, that thing he just said was a blatant lie.
You guys, I'm feeling confused. Part of me feels betrayed and part of me feels in love. What aren't you telling us?
Guys, I'll explain everything in a minute. Let's just get out of here with Bobble God.
Can I roll persuasion on that to everyone?
Well, does he take the unicycle?
You guys on it. He's still testing it right now.
Oh.
I can assume that was a trade.
Yeah.
I don't know. That brooch is pretty important, but I do like people serving me. But he's saying to himself. But out loud. With a bauble up to his head.
It could easily replace me, and there'd be half the food cost, my friend.
Oh, roll persuasion.
Yeah, that's going to be a 7.
2 isn't very expensive.
That's true. It's pretty free.
Roll persuasion against, again, your intelligence.
Me?
Both of you. Because he's going to try to persuade you too, right? Is that?
Yeah, I'm going to try to persuade them to go over this when we leave. Like, explain it once I save Beauregard.
Okay.
13.
Beauregard buys it.
10.
9.
Oh! So you don't, you don't buy it. You want to know now.
Why don't you tell us now?
What do you want to know?
And I get really close to his face.
Kiss.
And I just go, everything.
I want to lean in and just say,
Just play along. We might get lucky here.
I'm just gonna faint.
Perfect.
So Lokar's riding it around.
Being pushed around in a circle.
Yeah, yeah, he's got his arms crossed.
Yeah.
I feel so powerful. Yes.
Yes.
Don't look at my dice. You son of a bitch.
Lokar, I'm making a trade. You got 4 more years on this lease. I'm giving you complete ownership on another body that you don't even have to cut in on.
You know what? As he holds the bauble up to his head. As I am the greatest deal maker of all time, you got yourself a deal. He extends his hand.
And shake it.
Shakes it.
Yeah. Cool. So now we have Bellegarde.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you got to keep the brooch. Well, who's hungry for some too? This has been great.
Bellegarde's been eating it the entire time.
He's on a stool eating it from above the door.
Absolutely.
I'm going to disarm the trap then and lower it.
Okay.
What is it? A plus?
Sleight of hand.
Eight.
You're fumbling with it.
Here we go.
And that pot is just a little too heavy, so it's spilling back and forth. Everybody roll dexterity to dodge it.
Can I reach to steady it because I'm right there?
Passed out.
Oh my gosh, you're going to get burned.
No, sorry.
roll strength instead of dexterity.
Got you.
You roll dexterity to dodge it. You're going to get hit because you're messing with it. Uh-huh.
Three.
You both just get splashed with a little bit of hot stew.
Yep.
Hot two and take 1 damage.
Ah, me Ow. And Buckley?
You do as well because you're sleeping.
Well, I'm not sleeping.
You're fainted.
But I fainted, so does it wake me up?
Yeah.
So I'm like, whoa! Was it burning?
All right, you can exit now if you'd like.
We haven't taken a rest yet.
Lokar's like, you're welcome to stay here.
Do you want to rest here?
I think it's a good idea before we set back out, especially if they're looking for us.
All right.
I think we should rest.
Sure, let's rest.
We'll take watch in order then. Whoever's watching will watch by the mouth of it just in case this thing comes back, and we'll take a long rest.
Mm-hmm. Who's watching first?
I could watch first if you guys want.
I think I should watch first. I have a lot to contemplate.
Hey, how about me and the Dragonborn watch first?
Ooh.
I'm exhausted.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to bed.
Rhoda's hyperventilating in a corner like...
Yeah. I'm going to just curl up next to Bellegarde and Redemption to go to sleep.
So the three of you lay down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Rhoda and Gilf, ?
Gilf Jeffrey Kane.
Yeah. A walk out to the front of the mine.
The
worst.
Beautiful night.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Really gorgeous
really
out.
Nice, really, really nice outside.
It's really pretty. It's nighttime.
Dude, that was pretty scary back there.
Yeah, I was not. I'm
it was
brave.
Good. Hey, good move on that.
Thank you.
On that,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Who are you?
So Gilf just kind of like exhales. He goes, listen, I was hoping we didn't have to go all through this. I thought maybe we can get to a spot where I can just leave you guys where you'd be safe. But don't freak out. Don't yell. Okay, can you just promise not to yell or anything?
I have never yelled in my life.
Okay. He takes the cloak off the top of his head and unwraps the scarf that's been covering his face.
Hey, what's going on?
I pass out.
hey, Rhoda, wait, hello? Hey, no, you promised, don't do it.
Gilf! And I
lunge forward and I wrap my arms around him and I say, I miss you and I love you and I'm going to hug you and I'm going to keep you forever and I love you and I'm just going to hug you. Is this a dream? Are we married?
No, it's not. No, just, you're going to have to let me down, please.
And I drop him. Where have you been, Gilf? Was this you the whole time? Did you kill Kane?
Kane was me. It was a fantastic disguise.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
A clever backstory that I made up.
That was really good. Did you know that I believe in the Possum God now? I am a great sorcerer.
Yeah, I know. I've been around you the entire time. You're actually a pretty good sorcerer, I
gotta
say.
Thank you. Thank you. I channel my inner Daryl.
It's really impressive. You guys have come a long way.
Well, we've come a long way, so we're still beneath you.
Well, as far as magic goes, then yeah, I definitely would say so, yeah.
I definitely think in a magic off, I'd win.
Really? Are we calling it that? A magic off? Sounds gross.
You made it gross.
No, I'm not.
It wasn't gross until you said that it was gross.
Hey, do you hear that?
I don't even know hear that. Can I just roll a perception?
Do you hear my heart beating too?
Yeah, I'm going to roll a perception because that's what we should be doing out here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it would make sense 20. That we're a little distracted.
Yeah, but he's Gilf. He's a worry wart.
Yeah.
You know who worries as much as you, Gilf?
Who?
Kane.
Hey, no. Rhoda.
What?
Seriously, it's me. Kane and I are one and the same person.
Yeah, I know. You're both good at greeting.
No. I am Kane. Kane is me.
We will all go climb a tree. When we get to the top, then we'll see all the monsters. Then we'll come down and have 5 kids.
So, your watch has gone by. As you've had this conversation, nothing eventful has happened.
Or so you assume.
Well, as far as...
I rolled a 20, yeah.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah. Is it time for a switch, or it is time for a switch?
So we go back in the cave and lay down, and I spoon. Gain.
Gilf walks back in, puts his scarf back on and his cloak back up, and shakes Belgard awake.
Yeah. Roger. Any trouble, Roger?
Oh, it's your turn, man.
All right. And he would stand up and walk over. Is Bugfly just sacked out?
She's sacked out right now.
I like to think that Bugfly unnaturally snores really loud.
Yes. I also picture Bugfly sleeping in a cauldron.
Yeah.
Or some weird angle, felt, like upside
while
down.
While she's snoring, her like little pipe flute is underneath of her. So it's like...
Yeah.
Bees!
Whoa, hi! It's our watch, my friend.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna climb out of the cauldron.
So you guys go to the mouth of the mine, and you sit down, and you look out at the tree line in front of you.
So tell me about your life.
I've spent a year in darkness mining.
That sounds terrible.
It's not been great. Honestly, when I first signed on to this, I'm not quite sure what I was thinking. It was convenient and...
You should have came work at our B&B. I built a little stage in the back, so sometimes I play my pan flute.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't sound very appealing, but I figured there might be more upward mobility for me here in the mine.
What?
It's just that you guys have a thing, and it was pretty much always going to be your management, and you didn't really ask if I wanted to buy in, so I just kind of assumed...
Look, we have astonishing benefits.
I just needed some time to think.
That's okay. And I'm going to give you my Belgard doll. That's you.
How big is like, it's like fit in like one hand?
Yeah, you can fit it in one hand and it has a pull string.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Do I know what a pull string is?
Who doesn't want to pull a string?
Yeah. Okay,
right?
So I would grab the little ring and
everyone.
I would like tuck my pinky into the ring because I imagine it's just big enough and I would pull the string.
And it's just muffled Bugfly's voice trying, and it's redemption. It's like, oh, it's
how did you capture my voice? This is wonderful, my friend.
In the background of that is Rhoda like, bug fly, come feed the animal.
Yeah, so it's like not very good recording.
As you look out into the woods in front of you, you see the sky shift from a deep, dark blue into a hazy gray. It's a view that you're too used to. It means it's morning.
So when we say, is it blocked out by the moon or is it just gone?
There's no sun in the sky.
It's like Highlander.
Yeah. There's this gray atmosphere around you.
Time to wake up everybody else.
I suppose.
Yep. I call Rhoda. Yeah. So I'm just going to run in and I'm going to leap on her and slap her forehead because that's how I wake people up. Uh-huh. Rhoda.
No, I divorced you.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lance, we need to go.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he rolls out and he's about to do a push-up and then he stops himself. He stops himself. And he's just stretching.
Doesn't
up.
Everybody feel like they need to do 4 push-ups?
I mean,
and I look at Gilf and I wink.
And his jaw's just open. you can't see that it's open because it's behind the scar. It's just push-ups are great.
Let's all do 4 push-ups.
Doesn't seem like much of a challenge, and Bellicart does 4 with one arm.
All right, and so I start doing push-ups.
Oh, no one's going to use knees? I guess.
Bellicart's now on one hand looking at you why would I use my knees, my friend?
Yeah, Bugfly's doing the push-up and clap.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm doing push-ups and I'm doing them right at Gil's face and I'm smiling at him really big the whole time.
She's just so excited.
So weird.
Lokar stretches and wakes up
Well. Back to the mines, huh, Benjamin?
He hops onto the unicycle when he looks at the group.
So what are you guys going to do?
Live happily ever after.
Save the sun.
The sun of what?
Our sun.
You guys have a sun?
We have a sun?
End of episode right there. Yeah.
I had no idea. I don't even remember being pregnant.
Would you lay eggs? Be an eggs, right?
That's a good question.
I don't know the repercussions of that choice yet, so I'm not making it.
No, that's fair.
Also, Rhoda's got boobs.
Right, which are also don't exist on Dragonborn. So we're already breaking the rules.
But they do, absolutely.
I guess you could come out of an egg and still breastfeed.
Platypuses.
Dragons aren't mammals. They wouldn't have, they just have nipples.
No, they got boobs. Rhoda's all woman.
I agree
anyway.
Completely, but
Rhoda's all woman.
Maybe that's why my figure's a little off.
So you walk out.
Yeah, we just head out of the cave.
Lokar waves to you.
Goodbye, Lothkar. It has been an experience.
Bye, Lokar.
Well, to have. It's been something.
You just don't ever get his name.
Name, right? Yeah.
It was Lokar, right?
Yeah, that's not what you said.
Yeah. What did I say?
Lothkar.
Bach.
Lothkar.
Bye, Lokar. It has been an experience.
It has been. Too bad I am now the greatest miner who's ever lived.
Yeah, that's too bad.
You fucking whack job.
Yeah, he's crazy. Isn't he crazy?
He holds the bobble up to his head.
He's holding the bobble while on a unicycle. Yeah. That's a crazy person right there.
All things reaffirming his stature in life.
Hey, you guys, I think we should let the stranger lead us. Right, Kane? And I wink.
You were not about him earlier.
I am all about him now. You know what I mean, Bugfly?
Bugfly, roll insight.
18.
You know something is up with Rhoda.
You were going to leave him to die earlier.
I mean, that was before I looked inside the warmth of the pouch.
And I look over and I wink at Gil.
Again, he's like, what are you doing?
6 times in a row.
Bugfly, you are looking right at her.
Yeah,
she's
winking
your best
hard.
Friend.
I know something's wrong.
Or is everything right?
And I wink more. I wink at Bugfly,
Tell me, as we're walking towards where?
Where are you choosing to go?
I earned at least some of this mine by now, right? I've over the past year, I've earned a cart of this stuff.
Well, you would have been paid in gold.
Excellent. All right, good enough. I was just going to push a cart along with us.
Okay, so as we pass by the cart, I want to take some of that magnarium, throw it in my bag.
Yeah.
I already have some from before.
Maybe we should blow up the mouth of the cave.
Jesus.
Oh my God. You'd be stuck forever.
Bugfly, I'm surprised that you're...
I know.
What direction are you going? Do you know?
We just need to get as far away from the town as possible, I imagine.
But right? Lumpy King is very busy during the day, especially.
You want to just go through the forest?
I would go through the forest, yeah.
Agreed.
So we probably have a conversation about this. We talk about how the road is too dangerous to walk on, and we just start walking through the forest.
So as you walk through the woods, you've been walking probably about, let's say, 20, 30 minutes or so. And you notice what was thick forest is starting to get thinner and thinner. So where you used to see real dense amount of trees, the trees are just scattered throughout. Mm.
Does that look natural? Like that's just a natural thinning out?
Roll perception.
20. Not a natural 20, a 16 plus 4.
No. It looks like there used to be a thriving environment here. Across the ground, there's decaying pieces of logs and sticks, brown leaves.
Has anyone else noticed that this tree pattern is a little bit like Gilf's hair pattern?
Like it's receding?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to start touching the dirt, and I'm going to roll a nature to just see what's what. Oh, no. Oh, God. 4.
You stick your hands into the dirt and start feeling around. You grab and hold on to a mushroom.
It's this. And I take the mushroom and I put it in my pouch.
Is it as if the entire forest is dying? Or is there greenery? Like, is it a circle inside the forest, or is the entire forest is now dying?
Where you're walking towards, it's like it's dying. It's similar to a receding hairline.
Right.
Right, where there's less and less density of trees. You haven't reached the point yet of like ground zero where there's no trees. So it's hard to tell exactly how much of this area has been impacted. But you can definitely tell that there is death around you.
We should be very careful.
We should be quite careful. We might wish to walk around this area.
Can't go around it.
Gotta go through it.
Gotta go through. Anybody, okay, you got it. You knew that song.
Bellegarde is going to climb the tallest tree he can and see what he can see. That's going to be a really good climb. That's like 22.
Yeah, you scale to the top of the tree. As you get to the top, you hear crack, and the tree starts to tilt.
Oh, crap. Can I leap to another tree? Like, is there a
steadier
roll
acrobatics.
One? Okay. That's going to be 11.
So you take a mighty leap over to another tree. You grab onto it. As your weight pulls the tree, it starts to crack at its base.
Can I leap to another tree?
Oh my gosh.
You sure can. One by one, these trees that he's jumping to are falling over onto the ground.
I guess I'm trying to leap back towards like a healthier tree, if that's possible.
Well, you're in the midst of jumping, so it's pretty hard to tell which is which.
That would be a 21.
You cleanly, like a squirrel, fly to the next tree. You land, you grab onto it, your weight pulls it, and you hear it crack, and it starts to fall.
Maybe like a squirrel, you should climb down.
Oh, wait. Wait, no.
Can I run over and try to reinforce the tree?
Yeah, roll strength.
I've made a terrible mistake.
13?
So he jumps to the third tree, and you're there ready for him because you can see what direction he's going in, and you hold the tree up.
How high am I in the air?
20 feet.
Oh, I'm just going to slow fall.
Feet.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just going to slow fall down. That's within my... So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, and I just leap to the ground.
All right, great.
Whew. You're so strong, Rhoda.
Thank you. Did anyone else notice? And I look at Gilf, winking.
You're pretty strong.
I'm also pretty.
As two trees thunder to the ground.
Yeah. Like Buster Keaton.
Rhoda, tell me what's going on. Don't these bracelets mean anything to you? And I shing my bracelet up.
Bugfly, you know the bracelets mean that we have to spend a lot of more time together.
Right.
But what means the most to me right now is the possum god.
But you said that secrets don't make best friends. You said that.
This secret I was only allowed to tell one person. And I told my diary.
Oh, okay.
While I was up there, did I see anything?
You saw, as far as your eye could see, the death and decay of the forest around you.
It's the entire forest. It's everything. From this point on, is dead. If this is dead, if the sun is gone, these things could be connected. I say we go further in.
Into the dead?
Into the dead.
Okay.
Is that what you think, intelligent stranger?
Yes, that's what I think. Let's go.
He takes her hand and just starts walking forward with her.
He's holding my hand.
So as you move forward, what used to be a sparse amount of trees has now become nothing. It's just this empty land in front of you. Looks like decaying remnants of a forest all across the ground. Who's in front?
Probably me.
Roll perception.
20.
About 50 feet in front of you, you see a small, fuzzy bunny.
I wouldn't really think that was weird.
There was a water tiger earlier.
There's a lot more stranger things.
Yeah,
that's
a bunny. Yeah.
Is Kane the only one who sees the bunny?
Roll perception.
18.
Gilf is looking ahead. You look to your right, and you see a fuzzy little bunny.
I rolled a 3.
You are staring at Gilf.
So there's 2 bunnies?
Yes. But you don't know about the first bunny.
Yes, I just see 1 bunny.
You see 1 bunny.
Okay.
To your right.
It's the spirit bunny.
What?
This bunny.
What bunny?
There's a bunny.
This bunny? And I'm looking at Gilf.
I wanna like approach this bunny. Buckley thinks she knows what it is. Mm-hmm. She for sure probably doesn't.
So you break apart from the party and you walk towards this bunny. How close are you now?
I am 25 feet away. So I'm not like on it.
Right.
But I'm...
You're creeping up
I'm
towards
creeping
the bunny.
I'm creeping it, yeah.
Okay. Roll stealth and then roll investigation.
Okay.
Are you in your rock suit like you'll put it down? Pick yeah. a few suits up, put it down.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. So I rolled a 19.
For which one?
For stealth and then... 20 for investigation.
As you approach the bunny, you see it's got its head buried into this decaying forest floor, and it's eating mushrooms.
I think about the mushroom in my pouch, and I'm going to start digging to see if I can pick up more mushrooms.
You stick your hands into the soil. Roll investigation.
16.
As you reach down and touch the soil, you see that it is completely covered in these mushrooms.
I think about the mushrooms that we saw a long time ago that made Bellegarde like crazy, and I'm just going to shove more in my pack.
So you scoop them up and pile them into your pack.
Yeah.
What's everybody else doing?
Do we notice she's left the group?
Roll perception.
Also, I definitely didn't notice the bunnies, but Redemption may have noticed the bunnies.
Nope.
You're just minding your own
forward,
business.
Yep.
He rolled a 1.
I already noticed the bunny.
You're just going to keep walking forward?
Yeah.
Slow dancing. Just kidding.
The party continues forward.
How far is Bugfly from us?
She's veered off the group. So you guys are still walking forward, and she's fallen a little bit behind.
Yeah.
And is now off basically to the east of you.
But we could, like, if we did look correctly with our eyes, we probably could see her from where we are.
You could.
Yeah, I'm not hiding. I'm just
Oh, you
digging.
Are in your rock suit.
Yeah, it's true. It's very hard to see me.
So maybe we would.
Yeah.
We might not see it.
One more perception check from the person leading.
17.
Where there once was one bunny, there are now 5. And they're all looking at you. Roll for initiative.
Oh my gosh.
Meanwhile,
47! 40? Come on in.
That's me. I'm 40. That's me. That's me. That's me.
Here we come.
Two Modrons.
Here we come. Hello.
Perfect. This is exactly what Guardian Ultra Knight asked for. What they're looking for is two Modrons who can build the perfect mech suit.
Perfect. We got it. Yes.
Oh, please.
I have been perfectly trained to build things perfectly.
All right. So hit me with it. What's in that wheelbarrow?
I have feet.
Oh, great.
Set the feet down. They're metal. They are metal like me.
They
yes.
look heavy.
Feet attached to the shins.
Shins.
The shins go to the feet, and the
Those
feet goes
thick.
To the shin. And then above that is the
knee. Knee attaches to the hip. Hip, huh? Hip, hip, yes. Hip, hip.
Oh, ah, hip, hip, hooray.
I don't understand.
I don't
understand what you did.
It's okay. It was a bad joke.
I wish I could laugh.
You can't laugh?
What is laughing?
Hip attaches to stomach.
Oh, yes, stomach. The stomach is where it holds food that I can't eat and you can't eat.
I can't eat food. I can't eat
you
food.
You probably eat food.
Do you eat food?
I
do
get a bowl food? Of porridge every day.
Can you describe it to me so I may imagine it?
Sure.
While you describe
it's
it, I will attach ribs to the stomach.
Ribs.
It's white.
Whoa.
And I eat it, and most of the time it's mostly warm. Sometimes it's very cold, and I slurp it out of a spoon. And I go.
Can you describe warm for me? I do not feel.
If I was gonna eat something, it would be rainbow.
Oh.
Oh, me too. I'd love to eat a rainbow.
Anyways, where are the
arms? Arms. I have arm. I have arm. 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 Arm.
To the shoulder. Shoulder.
Shoulder. Shoulder.
Shoulder.
Chest.
Shoulder. Arm.
Chest.
Oh, chest.
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 Chest. In the middle. Chest.
Middle bone.
Bone. Neck. Neck. We have a neck.
Neck.
This is quite large in stature. I'm impressed.
Would you like inside?
You want me to get inside?
First, let's measure you.
Yes,
okay.
We have to measure you. Get down on the ground. You're too tall.
I have to lay down?
Please get down on the ground.
Okay.
You're too tall.
Down. Sure.
Down.
All right, I'm on my back. I can't get any lower.
Okay, I will hold this tape up here. You take the tape down there.
Yeah.
Is he big or small enough to fit inside?
He is medium.
Perfect, right?
No.
No.
If we could just saw off your arm,
yes.
Then you will fit just right.
Just the left one. We'll just get rid of your left arm.
But I need it.
No.
I'm left-handed, after
I
all.
I already have my saw out right here. It's
no.
attached to the end of my arm.
No! Yes. I'm not a lefty!
Look at that. You're ready to go.
Get in the suit. Get in.
I'm bleeding.
Get in.
I'm bleeding everywhere.
This is what you wanted, right?
I just wanted to capture the rats.
Sometimes a lot of hopes and dreams take sacrifices. I know. Okay. I've never been loved.
I'm in.
You're in the suit?
I'm in.
You're in. Oh, no. His right leg. His right leg.
Oh, no,
his right leg.
Leg doesn't
get out. Get out. Take out.
But
get
I'm
out,
right-footed. No, I kick with my right foot.
There you go. Now you fit. What do I do with these last two limbs?
We make another mech. We make one of us.
Good idea. I put them in my backpack now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye
How
now.
Do I drive?
Good luck with our suits.
How
Send
do
us
I
a
turn
check.
It on?
It's intuitive. You'll know. Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
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 Beep-bop.
Control. Alt. Delete.
Yo, man. Welcome to the suit. What's going on?
Oh, my God! It worked!
Yo, where do you want to go?
I want to go to
school. Oh, shit, you're bleeding all over me, man!
I'm dying!
You got blood all inside me!
I'm dying!
Get the fuck out of my body, man! I'm out of here.
At least I get to be on the floor that I love so much. Rat here, former leader and now arch nemesis of the Dungeon Rats. I hate the Dungeon Rats so much that I bought a bag to prove it. Do you want to prove how much you hate the rats? Check out the link in the show notes. Anyway, The Dungeon Rats is produced by Carlos Luna and Patrick O'Rourke. This episode was edited by, with an original score from Carlos Luna. Rhoda is played by Justine Kruger. Bugfly is Serena Marie. Gilf is Carlos Luna. Bellegarde is Aram Fartian. And the DM is Patrick O'Rourke. Well, that's it for Rot, the master of the metagame. And remember, a true leader always gets the last word.